celebrating the goodness of God with us is just kind of an amazing and astonishing thing. For those of you who don't know us super well, when Greg and I decided to go on this adventure together with the Lord, Greg said we should get like 10 families together who will decide to do this with us, right? And then if we're all like in on it,
I was trying to go with kind of a business plan type of approach.
Yeah, which sounded really good to me. Business plan sounded good. And so I said, that sounds like a great idea. Let's pray about it and see what the Lord says. And I prayed about it and I went back to Greg and I said, I felt like the Lord said, yeah, we're not going to do it that way. I thought Greg was going to blow up and say, well, then we're not doing it. And then we'd be done with this idea. But what I felt like the Lord said was, this is an invitation for every person to be a part of a move that I'm making in Arizona. And so, like everyone else, this is an invitation just for you and Greg to say yes. Whether anyone's with you, whether anyone's on board, if you say yes, then I'm a yes. And then you can invite people to be a part of it. And that was a really terrifying proposition for us, because that meant that we were saying yes to a commitment to hosting a space with God without a single person saying, hey, we think that's a great idea. And you said yes. Which was so cool. And then as we have started to continue this adventure, we have discovered that this hasn't been about recruiting people and asking them to do tasks. This has been about inviting people to experience a space with God and hearing from Him what His invitation is for them in terms of who they are and what they contribute by who He made them to be, and then what thing He's inviting them to adventure with Him in. And I will tell you that this has not felt comfortable. This path of doing it this way has felt hugely uncomfortable, because we went from doing everything ourselves, just, hey, come to our house, we will feed you and we'll share some stuff and we'll do worship together, to, hey, we're now in a public space and we cannot do it on our own. And that means other people have to be a part of it. So every week, I will tell you, there's pieces of this that we don't know whether or not they're gonna happen. And it's not up to us to make texts and phone calls and figure it out. Which terrifies me, because by the way, I know how to run a thing and recruit people and sign them up and make sure they do their part and encourage them in their part. And like, this is not that adventure with God. This is a whole different thing. And so every week is an opportunity, because the Lord made us a promise. He said, I will send everyone. And like the Holy Spirit equipped those who built the tabernacle and the temple, I will equip and draw every person to be a part of this. So it means it's not our job to do that. And so I just want to tell you, every week is this terrifying, like, tightrope walk of wondering what's going to happen next.
More for her, not for me.
Yeah, he's like, it, whatever. But it's not terrifying bad. It's just like, I never know what's going to happen, right? I never know. And I said terrifying, and the Lord goes, really, it's terrifying? And I'm like, no, it's really kind of actually really adventurous. And I don't think I'd want to do it any other way, because I have to be honest, I'm not interested in building an organization. So we've got that covered. Like, that's not even tempting. So that's good. But I wanted to share with you the cool thing. One of the things, for example, was that Julie has felt led by the Holy Spirit to set up our space. And so almost every week she is here and she prays over how many tables we should set up. And she releases the goodness of God in this space so that you feel His presence when you walk in. She celebrates and prays over every part of this space. My daughter has stepped up and she makes the coffee almost every single week with or without supervision. So, you know, that's why. And Saddle Creek stepped up and provided the coffee. And on any given week, we don't always know if someone's going to provide a snack. And I'll be honest with you, I really want a snack every week. I want a salty and a sweet snack every single week. And I, you know, the Holy Spirit has clearly decided that I need to get over that. But so today we had a salty snack and we had no sweet snack. And then my dear friend came in with one of my very favorite things ever for my birthday. And she walked in with cheesecake for us all. And I saw there's the Holy Spirit and Sharon walking in the door. You know, cool to have a salt and sweet snack. I don't know. That just feels like love to me, like food love. I don't know. Maybe that's a problem, but, you know, we'll talk about that later. We got prayer for that. So my son, on his own, don't help me, Mom, set up all our tables in partnership with Miss Julie. You know, and if you can imagine tall, you know, how tall Abraham is and how big these tables are, you can imagine. I had to leave the room. So while that was happening, because I was afraid someone was going to get hurt. And I didn't know.
Don't forget Dan and don't forget Christy. And Joe.
So Dan and Christy, keeping going.
And Jared and Jocelyn.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just keep going.
So Dan and Christy have felt led by the Lord, and Dan is not just doing our AV because he's capable of so much more, but really standing for the Holy Spirit in family life. Standing for us to see our families, our children, our siblings, our spouses, our parents, the way God sees them. To take what God has done in their own personal family and see that expanded. And to see us come into an uncontended, wouldn't it be so good to have an uncontended space in our families? Where our families are no longer under contention. Where we have won that territory and we no longer fight negativity and apathy from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed, but that space is ours. And anyone who comes into that space gets blessed. So that's what Dan and Christy are standing for, and Christy has taken on children's. And from the very first week, she and the Holy Spirit have partnered together. And this was a really cool thing. So I didn't mean I was going to do this, but I'm like chucking my other thing.
You're
I'm going
to do this
instead.
You're down this whole road. You can't come out now.
Right? I have thrown my hat over the fence, and I can't get it back. So from the very first week, Christy didn't know what to do. This is such a cool story. And she thought to herself, well, I should call Anne. She probably has better ideas than I do. That is just from hell, that thought. Because that's the thought that keeps us all from doing things, isn't it? This other person could do it better. It doesn't matter who it is. And I was standing on my side praying that she and the Holy Spirit would have a brilliant idea, because that's what this is all about, is us partnering with the Holy Spirit and running in that. And so she called me later and she goes, this was my idea and here's the craft. And I'm like, oh, that was so much better than my idea that I was holding on the back burner just in case she and the Holy Spirit didn't come up with something, which I was kind of like going to be super disappointed if that happened. And her idea was genius. And week after week, she comes up with these genius ideas of things to do with kids to help them explore the presence of God, to celebrate their identity in Christ and who they are in the earth and the gift they are. And Jill has jumped in and partnered with us in the children's to also like be there. She, in a crazy season of her life, said, oh, I will just take on all of like right before Christmas, even though I'm a teacher and I'm like brand new in a house and, you know, but like, you know. And so also, Lindsay and Jared have stepped up not only in worship and, oh, thank you. And Jared has transitioned us out of just tracks with music into like actual live singing. And I mean, you know, for those of you who don't know, like that's been a big deal for us. I mean, every little step we take, it's coming from partnership with the Holy Spirit, you know? And so when I first called him and said, hey, can you do this? He goes, you know, I just do karaoke, right? Like, I don't know about leading worship. And I said, just sing some songs and maybe worship will happen to us. You know, like it'll just hit us. And I threw my hat over the fence. I can't stop. I have had several people who have said to me, Jared, you don't even know this. And when that guy started singing, oh, I was going to cry. And they felt the presence of the Lord so powerfully. And in fact, one person said I was mad because they didn't want to feel anything. So that was really cool. And Lindsay and Jared are in the process of developing what we hope will become a really great place to explore hearing God on our Sundays. And we're going to like transition into that and some more training on the different ways that people hear God. And so that people can really learn and grow. In the because some people are hearers, some people are perceivers, some people are seers and feelers. And so they're kind of passionate about that. So I don't want to miss, like, there's so many pieces to this. And so every week I watch miracles happen. Every week I watch the Lord have people invite people. I see people come from a parking lot in Costco, from a random conversation with an old friend, and the Lord draws them. Like, So if I didn't say what I should have said about you, you can approach me later, and I'm sure the Lord will make it up to you in some way. To Eli sharing some of the most profound prophetic words I've ever heard. You know, to Steph is in the house with baby E. And Steph being the very first one I ever told this vision to, and her saying, I think that's why I moved to Arizona, is God's making a move. And her affirming us in such a way with the Holy Spirit that gave us strength. And Heather and her husband, David, and her family getting us to our third series that we never would have done if they hadn't helped open that space with the Holy Spirit and made that happen, which brought us into this. So just piece by piece, layer by layer. And I just love the celebration of every single person and who we are getting to just celebrate who God made us to be. And saying yes to that, like, yay! Okay, so I'm gonna release kids then, because I was gonna do something else, but we'll do John the Baptist next week with kids, and we're gonna release kids to Miss Christie. Abraham is loving his series with Miss Christie. Like, I am so tempted to keep them in, but he's like, no, Mom, we can't miss it with Miss Christie. So growing up with God. So for those of you who are third, like. No, what is it? What did we say? Are 10 or 11 and under?
10
and under. Thank you, Jill. See? Holy Spirit, Jill. 10 and under, you may go with Miss Christie now. Yay! Have a good time, kiddos. And we will see you back here at 5. 5 to 5:05. Okay, Christie? 5 to 5:05. 5:05.
Careful, you're stretching it already.
I know. Okay. Okay, I'm going to do something I've never done before. Yay! Sometimes those are really, really good, and sometimes they're, like, terrible, but usually pretty good. So if anybody wants to, like, grab some of the chairs that some kids had or scooch up to a table because you want to be able to have access to some index cards or writing something down, you're welcome to do that if you're comfy, cozy where you are. We also have some tea and some coffee in the back, so please feel free to get up and get that. And we're going to do something a little bit different, and because we are going to explore a topic together.
Yay.
Yes, right? And we have been doing a series on grace. And all of you know that I grew up thinking that grace was a concept and grace was an ideal. It was maybe kind of something that God did. And it was my major definition or understanding of grace was that it was unmerited favor, meaning God loves me despite myself. God loves me even though I'm crummy. That's what grace is. And grace is what makes everything possible in God because he loves me even though I'm super crummy. And God blew up that definition for me as he started to introduce me to who he really is a few years back and who we really are. And he just went, there is no part of who I am that is a concept or a theory. It is always me. It is always relationship. It is always my presence. It is always, I'm not going to write a book and give you instructions on how to tie your shoe. I'm going to do it with you. I'm not going to write a book and tell you how to be married. Well, I am going to show you. He's like a show and show and share God. Anybody ever have your kids have show and share? Show and share. He's like, I want to be a part of it. I don't want to give you gifts and let you figure them out on your own. And there is no prophetic word that I give to you that's for you to figure out on your own. It is for you to get a clue about what I'm doing so that we can do it together. So, one of the things that I've been doing with the Lord for quite a while is going through every single verse that includes the word grace, which most of you now know is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S in Greek. In the Old Testament, it was hen, and mostly interpreted as favor. We're going to stick in the New Testament this week and do charis. And it is, anybody know how many times, give or take a few, depending on your version of the scriptures, New Testament, charis is in scripture? 77. What a great guess. Go up. Anyone else?
120
Seriously, how do you know that? Yay! Okay, so give or take a little bit, 122 to 140, depending on, you know, how people are interpreting, you know, charis itself is around 120 something. People put in grace for other words. And so we're gonna do this together, and I have never really done this before. So here's what I'm gonna encourage you to do. If you are someone who gets caught up or tripped up by information, I'm going to encourage you, don't get your Bible out, don't get your phone out, just hang out. If you're someone who goes, hey, I don't really end up getting tripped up by that stuff, it doesn't cause me to, like, you know, get all, like, micromanage you or whatever, then go ahead and get your phone out, and I'm going to encourage you to go to BibleGateway.com, if you can get internet service, and look up the word grace, click on the New Testament, and what's going to come up is about 120-some. Almost 124 listings. And we're going to run through some of the examples of how Scripture describes grace. Because there is nothing in Scripture that makes any sense that grace is a concept like unmerited favor. So has anybody done this before? Anybody gone through all of, okay, so this is gonna be fun. Are you ready? We're gonna cruise through. There's about 40 different places where it talks about grace being upon somebody. Starting in Luke is the very first one, and the child grew and became strong and spirit filled in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's our first challenge, because how can unmerited favor be upon Christ who knew no sin? Because he merited all the favor. So the grace of God was upon Christ. Okay, so now we've just blown up the box already, right? And then we go to John 1, who I love John, because he describes Jesus as the Word. And he says, and the Word became, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? And we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, meaning like this was the goodness of God from God on earth, full of grace. Right? Okay, so still, it can't be a concept. Can't be a concept. And it can't be unmerited favor. John continues, and in his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. What? In his fullness, in his completeness, we have received something that is so much more than love, even though we're carnal. Right? It's just, we're just getting started. Okay, he continues. So, okay, so what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you write down a few things, like upon him, full of. And in John he continues, but grace and truth came through Jesus. So now we have grace has come through Christ. Grace is a thing that comes through Christ to us. What? Right? And then in Acts it talks about grace was upon the apostles. And anybody know the defining words of how this was described? How was grace described when it was upon them? To witness the resurrection. Empower. Right? So, yay! So, grace is described as upon. In Acts 11, Barnabas is sent to a group of believers who are Gentiles, and because they're trying to figure out, like, what's up with this whole thing? Like, is it possible for Gentiles, you know, to, you know, be included in this thing called Jesus? And when he came and had seen with his eyes the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged. So did he see with his eyes that they had unmerited favor? Or did he see with his eyes that the grace, there was a presence upon them? Right? In Acts 13, they were encouraged. Paul and Barnabas was speaking to this group of people, and they say, continue in the grace. So continue in the grace, and we can see grace with our eyes. In Acts 14, they spoke boldly, bearing witness to the word of his grace. And it looked like signs and wonders done by their hands. Okay. In Acts 15, they said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus. So now Jesus possesses grace. So he didn't just grow in it. He now possesses it. And through it, we are saved in the same manner as they. And what manner is that? What manner of grace? It explains in Acts 15, by the giving of the Holy Spirit. We are saved in the same manner, by the giving of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 15, Paul and Silas, they leave, and they are commended by the people to the grace of God. So they were put into the trust of grace. They were entrusted to grace. So I don't even know how you put that, but you know how, like, you know, remember how you would, like, put a kid on an airplane, you know, like, who's under 13, and there is a stewardess there, or a steward, who takes responsibility for that kid, right, for the duration of the flight. That's what they're saying. We are entrusting grace to carry you to your destination. What? Right? Are you good? Okay, I'm sorry. I got goosebumps all over. I'm so excited. And when they traveled and they wrote, encouraging other disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, this is in Acts 18, he greatly helped those who believed through grace. So now grace helps you to believe. This grace thing is sounding an awful lot like a person or a character than it is a concept. Whew. In fact, apostles are given the ability through in Acts 20 to testify to the good news of the grace of God. In Acts 20:32, he says, now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is, are you ready for this? Able to build you up and give you an inheritance. What? How is unmerited favor? I love you and you're so crummy. Able to build you up and give you an inheritance. It's not possible. In Romans, it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship, which means the ability to be sent, and obedience. So we are sent by, and we are made able by grace. Paul says about 40 times throughout the scriptures, grace to you. You familiar with that? Grace to you. And do you, anyone know what the rest of the phrase is? He says, yes, yes. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Is he saying unmerited favor to you and peace? So be comforted in your cruddiness and have peace because you're super, super unable. Except for the fact that grace somehow makes you able. It is something that can carry you and take you. It is build you and gives you an inheritance. You can be sent by it. It makes you able. So I started to have a, let me see, I'm shaking. I started to ask the Lord, what does that mean? Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord goes, look at what grace is always paired with. It's always paired with grace to you and peace. It's almost like he's describing, I'm just gonna propose that I don't know this. So I almost never share anything that I don't feel like I have processed for a whole bunch of years. I wait for years, but I'm in process on this. and I'm just going to propose it to you to have an adventure of your own with the Lord. Could it be that grace is, because Paul is real, I'm going to back up, that grace is a certain thing. Paul's one of the only apostles who uses the word grace, charis. He's one of the, of all the apostles who did all different writings, whether they were included in Scripture or not included in Scripture, Paul is the one who got all excited about charis. And so what he's trying to describe is something that he has a revelation of. He's trying to help us get a grip on it. And most of you know that a charis at New Testament times was a promissory note, right? It was a loan. And so that's where we get that unmerited favor. It's a loan given not based on your merit, but it was expected that you pay it back with interest. So it wasn't this like freely given and you don't have to pay it back kind of deal. It was actually expected to bear fruit in your life so much that the lender of it would also benefit. And so I'm wondering if grace is possibly a description of the Spirit of Christ, the Prince of Peace, be to you. The Spirit of Christ, by Him, by His Spirit, dwelling in us, we are made able. We are entrusted. We are transported. It is Christ's agreement with God regarding us, dwelling in us, that makes us able to be who God sees when He looks at us. Okay, he says that in Romans 4 that your faith comes according to the grace, meaning according to your partnership, right, with the very Spirit. In fact, it is said that it was grace, that same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead, that now dwells in us. Like, now it's starting to unfold. In Romans 5, it is much more the grace of God, and it is by the grace, look, get ready, by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, that abounded to many. So just listen, if I say it this way, it is by the Spirit of God and by the gift of the Spirit of one man, Jesus, that we abound. Romans 5:17 continues, and who will receive this abundance of a Spirit? Those who receive it will receive the gift of righteousness and will reign in life through Jesus Christ. So it is the Spirit of the one by which we reign with Christ. What? Okay, I'm sorry. Anyone else want to do the happy dance? In fact, in Romans 5:21, it says that even so, are you ready for this? As sin reigned in death, so grace, the Spirit of Jesus, might reign through righteousness. What shall we say then in Romans 6? Shall we continue in sin that the Spirit of God may abound in us? Or, no, sin shall not have dominion, for you're not under the law. You are now under the Spirit of Christ, grace. I'm just proposing. Why does this matter? Some of you were never raised in that old idea, right? How many of you were not raised under that other idea of what grace was? There's a
not raised.
Okay. Yay! Some of us, many of us, were not raised in that, which is so great. For many of us who were, it's such a pervasive idea that it affects how we see and feel about everything. Because when we start to read these scriptures, it is by unmerited favor that you abound. It is by your unmerited favor that you overcome. It is by unmerited, it continues to pound in the idea that we are undeserving, when in fact all of Scripture completely contradicts that and says that we were made before the foundations of the world deserving of Christ.
So there is such a contradiction, and this thread of being incapable and unable runs through our entire culture. It is everywhere in our culture. Do you know some of the biggest industries are run by this theology? All of weight loss, all of overcoming addiction is run on the idea that we are unable and incapable. How many songs do we hear on all popular radio? I'm only human. I'm only human. Don't blame me. I'm only human. Don't expect anything of me. I'm only human. Right? And so it is this, I will back away from who God made me to be. I will not stand for who God made me to be, to be manifest, because I'm frail, I'm broken, I'm only human. It runs through our entire culture. It runs through every conversation. It runs through our economy. And God is going, I have another kingdom that will turn this economy right side up. And it is the economy of abundance and the capacity and the magnificence of humanity. In fact, Paul states in 1 Corinthians, I have come to proclaim what? The good news of the majesty and magnificence and the goodness of God. And as he is, so are we. What? So, so good. So as you continue to run through, you'll find that grace does all these things. In fact, it was grace that kept Paul from traveling. So apparently grace has the ability to keep you from traveling. You could put that up on the board. It keeps you from traveling.
I was sitting too long.
Then. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Sorry. The moment you sat down, that's what it was. Let's see here. Grace. It is by the grace of God that I am what I am, and his grace towards me is not in vain, and it affects his labors, our labors. So think about it. It is the presence of Christ that makes us able to see that we are what we are. And it is what moves with us in every labor, which is kind of like what I was just sharing beforehand about that. That's the hallmark of this whole entire thing, is that it's not about Greg and I recruiting, drawing, or attracting, thank goodness, because I don't know how that would work, a bunch of people to do a thing. What it is an invitation from the Lord for people to discover who God sees when he looks at them. And for them to rise up in that. And why would we gather together? Because I told the Lord, I don't want to do a weekly thing. We both agreed, we do not want to do a weekly thing. We were like, let's do a couple series. Sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. We can quit, nobody will ever know we quit. Like, you know, let's just do a couple of, you know, small groups, and then we can have an ending point and a stopping point, and like, nobody's relying on us. That was seriously what we really wanted to do, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And just need you to back me up a little bit. Okay. And I felt the Lord say, if you want to go where I want to take you, you have to meet every week, because people need to be in a space where they can regularly see themselves the way I see them. And they need to look across at each other and see each other the way I see them. In this room, it's not even about what we share. The Lord let me in on that good, you know, that good news. I was like, what about the message? And the Lord goes, it's not about the message. So not about the message. You're going to have to get over that. He goes, it's about people seeing each other the way I made them. Amen. So that they can see themselves that way too. Because it changes our atmosphere. And when we are able to see ourselves the way we truly are, we are able to be ourselves. And we win those territories, those spaces in our life that have been reigned by behaviors that contradict who God made us to be. Ooh. The whole chapter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, will just knock you over. Because he says, I pray that this grace will be completed in you. Meaning the full partnership of Christ will be completed. We have somebody dwelling in us who is continually standing for our atmosphere to be shifted so that we will see ourselves the way God sees us. And then we have the Holy Spirit who is working in all of our circumstances, communicating that truth to us. And then we have the saints who are standing on our side, who also are proclaiming over us. And then we have this great cloud of witnesses and the angelic host. That is so for us. Who can be against us? Like, isn't it time for some of this stuff to CRAP to fall? He told me I can't say that word anymore. It's a really good word. Get this, God is able to make the Spirit of Jesus, grace, abound towards us. Don't we want him to bound towards us? I want his perspective to reign over me. I want it to abound so that I can't believe any other cruddy thing. So that I can't believe that I have an addiction, that I can't believe that I'm impatient, that I can't believe that I can't hear God. I can't believe any of those things because I have something abounding in me that proclaims something different. I just got all excited. He says, I pray for you and I long for you because of the exceeding presence of Jesus' grace of God in you. Because I long to be with those. Paul, I long to be with you because you have an exceeding amount of agreement with the Jesus that's in you. And I long to be in your presence. What? Right? Don't we long to be in the presence of people who see us the way God sees us? Don't we long to have them just utterly remind us of who we really are? And he said to me, this is the most misunderstood verse, I think, in my life. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Ready? Listen to it this way. And he said to me, my unmerited favor, my love for you, even though you are incapable and unable, it will be sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Okay, that's one way to read it. Not super great. How about this? My Spirit of Jesus in you is sufficient for you because his strength regarding you makes you perfectly complete in your weakness. Amen. Therefore, most gladly, I'll even boast because the power of Christ rests upon me. It is self-explanatory. He goes, let me tell you what grace is. It's the power of Christ resting upon me. How did we not know this? Okay, where are we at? Ooh, okay. Well, let me go to my stars, because I have like 12 more pages. Stars. Okay. Again, I get to skip like 40 of them because it's grace to you. Okay, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. The Spirit that is in Christ has done this. He has agreed with himself about who we are and done it. And the grace, the presence, the Spirit of Jesus, who is exceedingly abundant in his agreement with God, faith, and love, which are what? Which are Christ. Like, it explains itself. How did we ever get far away from this? 2 Timothy, Paul says, those of who have he saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, his Spirit, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, when? Before time began. What? In fact, 2 Timothy 4 is almost a repeat of the Hebrew-like poem where it says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, grace be with you." You know, they had triplets, couplets, where they would repeat the same thing. All of Proverbs is that. It's like, let me say it this way, and then I'll say it this way, and it's a repeat of the same thing. Yes. Okay, poems have these ways of saying things that are the same thing. So what they do is they'll say, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart far from it. That is saying the same thing the first way and saying it the same. That's they're coupleting. They're saying, let me say the exact. And usually, in the pairing of the couplet, you will find the definition of the words that come in. So they'll go, this is like this, this is like this, okay? And so this is Paul using that same method. You ready for this? The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace, the Spirit of Christ, be with you. He says, the grace of God in Titus 2, for the grace of God that brings salvation. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't my belief. It wasn't my actions. It wasn't anything else. The grace of God brings salvation. So it is the Spirit of Jesus bringing salvation has what appeared to all men. How did we ever get this other idea? Grace appears to all, the Spirit of Jesus appears to all men? Of course. Unmerited favor appears to all men? It's not even possible. So you have to put grace appears, like it appears to all men. This is so good. We are justified by it. We are brought into all good things. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, again in Philemon, is with our spirit. His spirit, with our spirit, all things are possible. Yes. And so he's going, you want to know how to live the victorious life. You want to know what it is to live in the kingdom. You want to know what it is to overcome all the things that are wrecking your life, that are causing challenges. It is by the Spirit of Christ who dwells within you that shows you what's really going on. And, okay, therefore in Hebrews, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have the Spirit of Christ grace by which we are able to serve God. And are you ready for this? This is how it's been typically interpreted, so that we can serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. And I'm going to end with this. But that's not actually, I think, the best way of interpreting that passage. Hebrews 12:28. Are you ready for a... Because when you look at grace, then you're interpreting the entire... If you look at it as unmerited favor, you're interpreting all the words around it with that grid. Right? Because that's what you do. If this is the definition of this word, then you're interpreting everything that comes around it with that grid. So that passage has been interpreted from that vantage point. But here's what happens when you look at, take a better look, I think, which is what Francois did, who's a scholar. And so Hebrews 12:28 says, we are fully associated with this immovable kingdom, an authority that cannot be challenged or contradicted. So therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have the Spirit of Christ, which makes us able, right? But we've always heard this, which so that we can serve God and have reverent, godly fear. That's the outcome. So we can serve God and have reverent, godly fear. Well, I was raised that way. That's the best outcome I ever could shoot for. I don't know about you, but are you ready? Our participation echoes as we accommodate ourselves to God's delight, yielding in awe to his firm embrace. Do you get that? Our participation with God in his kingdom echoes the embrace of Christ's grace as we accommodate ourselves, meaning as we ourselves become as Jesus sees us, as we accommodate ourselves to what? To service? No. To God's delight. That word is not service. It is his delight. We come into this kingdom so that we can come into his delight. Yielding to reverence? No. Yielding to his embrace. His embrace, not reverent fear. Yielding to his embrace. Yes. So, one of the best messages I ever heard on grace was given by Graham Cook about 3 or 4 years ago. And you guys can all, I'll send it to you if you want to know. I'll send you a link. I'm sure it's on YouTube. It's a message on grace. And I sat in that message that Graham spoke on grace, and I sobbed the entire message because I knew that grace was not a concept and not a thing. I knew that it was a person. I also knew that everything that he was saying, I had no idea what he was talking about. But I knew that in the next couple of years, I was about to find out. Because I knew where he went, I was going to go too. And what he had discovered about grace, I was going to go too. And I cried and I cried, and I had a very dear friend who I knew was the epitome of that message of grace. Yep. Get him. Thank you. And I listened to that message over and over and over and over again on behalf of my friend who was in a place in their life where they were not able to listen to that message. And I listened to that message saying, this is who you are on earth. You are grace. You are the Spirit of Jesus Christ on the earth. And you will redeem and do much more. Like Jesus said, aren't we all waiting for the much more? Like, right? I'm waiting for the much more. Much more than Jesus did, I'm waiting on that. And I listened to that message. And then later on, maybe a year and a half later, I shared a whole series of Graham CDs with that same friend. And I didn't even tell them that I had listened to these and that this was my favorite one and that I felt that this was who they were. But later, when they listened to the whole series, this friend came to me and said, I love the whole series, but the one I love the most is the one on grace. And they said, I feel like it's who I am. And I probably listened to that message 30 times, going, I know this is who you are. I know this is who you are, the Spirit of Jesus, agreeing with God, that will release that agreement within other people's lives. And isn't that the fun way? Isn't that the fun way? It's the fun way! Yay! And so that's why we're here celebrating. And so even like if you ever get bored in the messages or whatever it is that we're doing in this adventure with God, here's my encouragement. Don't even listen to me. Just look across the room and ask the Lord who people are and just agree with him. Because that's really what this whole adventure is about. It's about celebrating each other and learning how to agree with God when we don't know how to see or hear for ourselves in whatever circumstance or situation, and watch ourselves become healed. Because as we are healed, we then get to walk in our true identity. Right? Woo!